Thank you, ladies. That song would fit any message this country preacher has to preach up Calvary's mountain. What a blessed Redeemer we have. Amen. Well, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. We have people today who claim they're evolutionists, but I don't believe there's any such animal. They talk about the Big Bang Theory. I've used this illustration many times, but bears repeating. I challenge those who believe that there's just a big explosion and all of this that we see in the way of creation came into being in the perfect order that God has placed it. I challenge them to go over to the rim of the Grand Canyon, take a watch, strap it to a stick of dynamite, light the fuse, and throw it over the rim, and watch it explode in midair, then go down to the bottom and try to find a watch ticking perfectly on order the way it was when you strapped it to the dynamite. No chance. Not only would all the pieces just be completely scattered all over, many of them would be destroyed to where it could not ever be put together as a watch again. Not even by watchmakers. They'd have to get new parts. But people don't want God in their minds, and the reason they don't want to think about coming judgment. But it's coming. It's coming. And even the majority of professing Christians hate the Christ of Holy Scripture. Now we, and rightly so, greet people on special days saying happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy Mother's Day, happy Father's Day. Those are days that come around once a year. They're special days. How many times have you heard happy Easter? Happy Easter. People think that's a day that should be celebrated once a year. We heard Brother John say in his statements this morning that Easter's something Christians celebrate all year long. Only I prefer the resurrection. The word Easter means Passover. But the resurrection of Christ is a special truth that God reveals to His children that we lay to heart in relation to our relationship with Christ. He said, because I live, ye shall live also.
Amen.
He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. So we rejoice in the resurrected Christ of God every day. If He's in our hearts, He's in our thoughts every day.
Yes.
Knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, we see His providential hand in everything. I mean, we live and move and have our being because of Him. Brethren, nothing happens by chance. Nothing. Everything that takes place in this life was ordained by God before time began. And He has ordained all of these things that take place for the glory of His darling Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. God has always been in control of everything. He would cease to be God if that was not true.
Yeah.
And everything that God has purposed points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when God would put him on his sovereign throne as a glorified God-man, as the object of all worship, working all things after the counsel of his own will, and doing all of these things for his eternal glory and for the eternal good of his people. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, for the last few Sundays, we've been looking at verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 9. And let me read those in your hearing again. For unto us, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. Now catch this. This is the subject we'll be looking at this morning. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This will be our last message from these two verses. And I've titled this message, The Zeal of the Lord of Hosts. Now it's interesting, this might be something you did not know, but the word zeal in our text means jealousy. Jealousy. It has to do with the jealousy a husband has for his wife. And Jesus Christ is our heavenly husband, and we're his blood-bought bride. That's a loving relationship. And our Lord Jesus loves his church, his purchased bride, with a zealous love, a jealous love. Turn to Acts chapter 4, if you will, please. The fourth chapter of the book of Acts. God has set his love, his eternal, immutable love, upon a particular people. And everything that he does, has done, or will yet do is out of zeal for those he loves. Jealousy over his people. Everything was created for that reason. Everything through the divine providence of God comes into being for that very reason. For the glorification of Jesus Christ and the love that he has for his chosen people. All events in life was purposed by our great triune God. And we as his enlightened children have this revealed to us so that we know nothing happens by chance. That God has a purpose for everything that takes place. Now the coming of the promised Messiah was prophesied all through the Old Testament. And our text in Isaiah chapter 9 is a prophetic statement of that which was yet to come. Our God stated that the Messiah was coming to Adam and Eve right in the first part of Genesis. A child would be born of a virgin. It's what we read in Isaiah 9:6. God's son would be given. The government would be upon his shoulder. His name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now the zeal of the Lord of hosts in respect to that which was coming refers to God the Father, and he has already performed most of those prophetic things. He's already brought that to pass. It was God who sent his Son into this world. God the Father. It was God the Father that formed his Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was God the Father who knew that his Son, when he sent him, would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. It was God the Father that sent him amongst his own creation, his own people, Israelites, who hated him without a cause. It was God the Father who sent him to be scourged, to sent him to the cross. It was God the Father who made him sin, made Jesus Christ sin. Our sins were put on him by God the Father. He bore in his body our sins on the tree, his own body. It was God the Father that poured out his wrath on his darling Son, so he wouldn't pour out his wrath on us. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. It was God the Father who, in his infinite wisdom, purposed the salvation of his elect through the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ, his Son. It was God the Father who raised him from the dead and put him on his throne in glory. Now Jesus Christ, the glorified God-man, is the Lord of hosts, performing all that which was decreed by the great three-in-one before a star ever twinkled in the sky. Jesus Christ is the sovereign controller of all things. Now this was prophesied by Isaiah through God working in him in our text in Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 and 7. Jesus Christ is on the throne of David right now. I know there's people looking for that to happen yet. Premillennialists to say that he has to come and sit on the throne of David, living in a temple over there in Jerusalem made by hands, and God does not do that. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. And Peter explains that truth concerning Christ sitting on the throne of David in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This spake he of the resurrection of Christ." People who profess to be Christians, and I'm telling you the truth, are more interested in teaching their children that rabbits lay eggs than the truths concerning the resurrected Christ. What does Easter egg hunts have to do with Christ and his resurrection? Now don't get me wrong, we raised 6 children. I'm not opposed to children having fun, getting them involved in games, hide and seek, annie-annie over. Some of you have never heard that, but that goes back to when I was a boy. I'm not opposed to that. But why bring them into the worship of Jesus Christ? They have nothing to do with that. That's Satan's evil design, to get our eye off of Christ and look to self.
Yes, amen.
I rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, don't you?
Yes.
I rejoice in the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. He's our Creator.
Yes.
But when he created everything, he wasn't the God-man. He is now the glorified God-man. All power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ, and he's working all things after the counsel of his own will to bring his blood-bought children into a living union with himself, to deliver us from the power of darkness and to translate us into his eternal kingdom. He's doing that. He's working all things for that very purpose. And it does not matter what things that he's using, it doesn't matter the outcome of those things. Whether it's the death of a loved one, or an incurable disease of a loved one, or the loss of our finances, whatever it is, our Lord Jesus is working those things for that very purpose. To get his lost sheep under the preaching of his glorious gospel at his appointed time of love for them, to reveal this very truth. Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
Amen.
Now, the coming of the promised Messiah has been fulfilled. All of that which we were, which we have been, which we looked at this morning, which we've looked at in the last few Sundays, concerning Jesus Christ and his coming, all of that's been fulfilled except for this wonderful truth. Our Lord is not going to stop at anything until that very last lost sheep is delivered into his waiting arms. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's an imperative. Pay attention to the wills and the shalls of the Bible. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God's not bound by anything to hinder him from doing what he has purposed. Satan and all of the evil forces of darkness are servants in the hand of the risen Christ of God. They can't do anything but what he allows them to do, and what he allows them to do is for his own purpose that was established before this world was ever created.
Yes.
Now, brethren, this is how the early New Testament church viewed God. This is how they prayed. Let me show you. Here in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23, now Peter and John were instruments in healing a lame man, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, we can't do anything but what God commands us to do. And then they released Peter and John. They went back to their own company. We pick up at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, that is the church of the true and living God, heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now look at verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God determined that. Everything concerning that. The wood that was used to make the old rugged cross, came from a tree that God preserved for that very purpose.
Amen.
All of those men, both Jews and Gentiles, were doing just exactly what God had determined for them to do. Wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory, that's true. But it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. We read that in Acts chapter 2. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is based upon what the Word of God says. God is sovereign.
Yes.
This religious generation doesn't even know the meaning of the word sovereign. The meaning of the word is found right in itself. S-O-V-E-R-I-G-N. R-E-I-G-N. God reigns.
Amen.
Over everything.
Yeah.
And it's high time we stood up as his enlightened children and stopped the mouths of the gainsayers with that very truth. Let me take you over to Ephesians chapter 1. John, in his Sunday school lesson, read some scriptures from this first chapter that I want to read in your hearing. We'll use this passage of scripture as a closing passage for this morning's message. Now, the Holy Word of God plainly teaches that our salvation is according to what God has purposed. Let me just quote a couple of scriptures. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
In our unregenerate state, our whole being is corrupt. Body, soul, and spirit. That's what the number in Revelation 666 is pointing to. It's not a number to fear. It's a number that describes man in his fallen state. 6 is the number short of 7, which that number in the scripture many times refers to perfection. 6 falls short of perfection. It's what you were saying in your Sunday school lesson, John. 666. Body, soul, and spirit. Corrupt. Fall short of perfection. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That alludes to a person who shoots a bow and arrow. He draws back and lets the arrow fly, but it can never reach the mark of perfection. That's us in our unregenerate state. And God demands perfection before he will allow any sinner to enter into his presence, not only in relation to him in this life, but also in the life to come. We have to be as perfect as God himself. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Well, this is where Christ comes in.
Yes.
This is the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's perfect. Our sins were laid on him. God had to punish him because he was made sin. But they were the sins of his chosen people. All of them. All of my sins, past, present, and future, were laid on my substitute. And the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that by one offering, he sanctified us.
Yes.
He made us as holy as God himself. He perfected us. We're as perfect as Jesus Christ in the sight of God Almighty. He doesn't see any sin in us. I never get tired of telling you that because it's a blessing to me. Is it to you?
Yes.
Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God has justified us through the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And we read in 2 Timothy 1:9 that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our works, not according to our works. I'm stressing the word according, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 1? That word according is used at least 5 times from verse 3 through through verse 11. Let me just read this passage of scripture. I won't take long. I won't speak from each verse lengthy, just to draw your attention to some truths concerning the salvation of God's elect by our great triune God. Blessed be the God and Father, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now look at verse 4. According. All the blessings of Christ belong to us. But it's according as He, God Himself, hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Can you imagine that? Now, I promise not to preach too long on one verse, but can you imagine that? Being holy and without blame before God? Brethren, I'm not ignorant of my weaknesses. I'm aware of the fact that I sin against my God every day. I don't want to. Do you?
No.
Every child of God, if they could, would stop sinning right now. But we can't. We're plagued with that old nature. But we can certainly fight it. We can crucify the old man. We can pray for God to give us a right frame of mind to conduct ourselves in a manner that's pleasing to Him. We can strive to walk as children of light. But we'll never stop sinning until we're delivered from the body of this death. And one of these days we're going to stand before God Himself without blame. That's because God Himself had chosen us in Christ. The last part of verse 4 starts verse 5, really. Verse 4 should end after Him. And verse 5 should begin, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Man's will has nothing to do with it. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Faith is God's gift to the sinner, so that we, as those who have been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit, would reach right out by God-given faith and lay hold of the truths of the gospel for the glory of Jesus Christ. Brethren, this was all purposed by God. And Jesus Christ Himself is on His sovereign throne of power as our blessed surety, as the one who has been given authority over all flesh. He is the zealous God, the jealous God, who will perform all of that which He purposed because of His immutable love for His church. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verse 8 says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now I'm reading God's Word, His Gospel. These verses that I'm reading and you're hearing point to the work of God the Father in electing grace, of God the Son in redeeming grace, of God the Holy Spirit in sanctifying grace. And this world of professing Christians absolutely hate this truth. That's why they try to limit celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ on one particular day of the year and get their children involved in hunting Easter eggs. That takes our mind off of Christ. Not ours, theirs.
Yeah.
Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This is talking about his chosen blood-bought children, those who are already in heaven and those who will yet go to heaven. All of them will be gathered together as one body of believers with one glorious ruler, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, over them. And in verse 11 it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Brethren, this is pointing to our God, our sovereign God, our ruler, our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, who himself, like I said earlier, bore in his own body our sins when he hung there on a tree, so that they would be removed as far as the east is from the west, and God would remember them against us no more. Just remember, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. According as he had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have an inheritance waiting for us in glory, reserved in heaven. Reserved in heaven. We read that in the book of Peter. Who made those reservations? God. God. And he's going to make sure that those reservations are filled. Not one for whom Christ died will be left out. Be no empty chairs in heaven. All of God's chosen blood-bought children will be there forever and forever and forever around the throne where our Savior Jesus Christ sits, giving him all the glory for all eternity.
Yes.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Who is it that first trusted in Christ? God the Father.
Amen.
God the Father had no doubt that when he sent his Son to this earth to do his will, no doubt that his Son would not accomplish all that he sent him to do. Our Lord Jesus came to this earth knowing full well what was in store for him, yet he came willingly. He came willingly because of his immutable, eternal love for those who were given to him in the covenant of grace by God the Father. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. To God be the glory great things he hath done.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother John, please.